it's true, you know, what we heard in the scriptures and what we sung about already this morning. I was meeting with someone in the last, just over about a week ago. They were sharing their story with me about how they had come into a life-changing relationship with Jesus many years ago. The person had gone through difficulties and challenges that we wouldn't wish on anyone, and feeling deep guilt. And yet, in a moment, in a time of prayer, there was one word that was whispered. They sensed the Spirit whispering over them. White. White. Sin had left a crimson stain, we sang, and yet he washed it white as snow. Without doubt, there is one story in the Bible that gets told and retold time and again, more frequently than any other story. In fact, when it happened, it instantly became the biggest annual celebration in the history of God's people. It was so epic that calendars were recalculated as a result of it. Which story is it that I'm referring to? It is, of course, the story of Israel's great exodus from Egypt. Where previously God's people had marked time in various ways, we read in Exodus chapter 12 that the great Passover event, as it came to be called, became for them the first month of the year, to commemorate forever the time of their great deliverance. The great symbol of their freedom was not a monument like the Statue of Liberty. No, the great symbol of their freedom, the center of their annual celebration, was a sacrificed lamb. 4 days prior to the Passover celebration, on the 10th day of the month, it says, each family was to select a lamb or a goat from their flock, a year-old male without defect, it says. They were to take care of it until the 14th day of the month, which in that culture often meant bringing the animal into their home as a kind of temporary family pet. I say temporary because 4 days later, on the 14th day of the month, 4 days after the lamb had come to live with them, their lamb would be taken to the temple late in the afternoon before sunset, and there it would be killed. And it would be then taken home with its blood sprinkled over the entrance to the doorway, and its body roasted and eaten as part of the Passover celebration, remembering that event. The solemn ceremony was one the Jews had religiously observed since the original Exodus from Egypt, when on that final plague, the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and passed over those places of refuge. As a culture immersed in a sacrificial system of worship, there were two realities that were so deeply ingrained in their annual Passover celebration, that of sacrifice and substitution. It was clear to each household that the price of their deliverance was costly. It cost them the sacrificial life of their beloved pet. But in giving up its life as a substitute for them, the lamb saved the household untold grief and death, just as Abraham of old had had his son saved by God's substitute ram. And so when Jesus gathered around the table with his spiritual family to celebrate this ancient celebration that had been going on for well over 1,000 years, and when he spoke of breaking his body and pouring out his blood, he was pronouncing himself as the ultimate sacrifice and substitute that the meal had always pointed to. Indeed, when we look at the New Testament as a whole, the overwhelming testimony of the New Testament writers and the reason for their concentration of so much time in each of the Gospels on Jesus' death is that in some way he died for us. For us. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is clear evidence of the dire straits that we as human beings were in. I remember a former teacher, Michael Green, telling us about a time he came down with meningitis. A killer disease, if you don't know. Now, he didn't know that. All he knew was that he had a terrible headache. But he had no idea really how ill he was. But when the top physician in England came to see him in the middle of a Sunday afternoon and immediately rushed him off to the hospital, Michael said, "You didn't have to tell me that I was gravely ill." And the parallel for us, of course, is that nothing less than Jesus, the great physician, sacrifice and substitute on the cross, could save us. If nothing else could save us, then it was telling us how deep trouble we are in. And if there had been any other way of rescuing us, God would have taken it. But there wasn't. And so he died for us. Passover Lamb. I want to sing a song this morning called Watch the Lamb, that puts us, if you will, into the story and what it is like and what it means for us.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Then I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. As we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him! We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy, the people gave him none. The second one was violent, he was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus, and I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, you carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They put nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, he prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the elder say, Father, please forgive us, the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms as we turned and faced the cross. And then I said, dear children, watch the